Senate Committee and Government Activities Monday. Now I do. Senate Committee and Government Activities Monday, June 15th, 7 p.m. here in Room A. Today we're having a public hearing on House Bill 2813, House Bill 2805, House Bill 3038. Work session, Senate Bill 134, and House Bill 2752. There's been a correction on the first bill. Says Sally is not 2813, it's 2318.
He would be first on the agenda after waiting so patiently the other day through 3 hours and then not getting called on, so you are now first. Do we have anything we have to take off the table?
Nope.
If not, any bill we have before us, we're going to take off the table. Is there any objection?
Any bill
that we have before
that's
a
beautiful
that we need to work on.
Well, I would, but I know
I'm about to go nuts when they got on the table, off the table, under the table.
They're all up now.
All the rest of the stuff that goes on around. Daryl, would you like to proceed then with 134?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm Daryl Rawls, Director of the Department of General Services. Senate Bill 134 is the bill that deals with public lands, and this committee had reported it out to the floor due pass as engrossed. When it went to the floor, it was reconsidered and sent back to committee, and we understand there to have been two problem areas that the Senate was concerned about. First of all, in Section 16 of the engrossed version of the bill, there is a reference to donation of land for industrial and manufacturing purposes. And the question, as we understand it, was, are there proper safeguards of review for those donations? And is this new policy? First of all, this is not new policy. This donation process for state government now exists. All we're doing is putting it in the proper place in the statutes. You remember the basic objective that we had was to split apart those statutes that relate to state government, those statutes that relate to local government, and rather than having them in one chapter, have them in two chapters so that each of us knows what it is we're supposed to do. So we're moving this donation statute that now exists, is current policy, into the proper place. So it's not new policy. Now, we did in Section 45 propose some new policy, which essentially was that any terminal disposition of land had to be reviewed by General Services. It does not now have to be reviewed by General Services unless we own it. But we were saying if we don't own it, we ought to review it before it is terminally disposed of. And so we think that that we do have a review process in there, with the exception of seven agencies that we exempted. And we have to assume that the Senate was concerned about those seven agencies that we would not review. If it is your opinion that the Senate desires that there be a review of all lands before they are donated away, then we have drafted language for you on the third page of my testimony, which would provide that any time there is a disposal of land, whether it's for donation or sale.
Page 10 in the bill, there's a Hand and Gross version of it.
Okay. At any point, if there's a donation or sale for less than full market value, then that would have to be reviewed by General Services. Now, it was not my opinion that it was all that practical and all that much of a problem to warrant General Services review of all these, but I can understand the Senate's concern, and if you do want to review, then we've drafted language to accomplish that objective. Now, I understand the second area of concern dealt with legislative review of disposals by General Services outside of Salem. The law now says that there'll be legislative review of all dispositions by General Services. We had proposed to scale that down to the lands in Salem. This is not a major area of concern by us, but there are small transactions outside of Salem that we really didn't think would warrant the amount of trouble that it would put the legislature or the emergency board to review those. But again, it was not a major item with us, so we have drafted language that would provide that any sale by General Services where it is to exceed $50,000 would require legislative review. The $50,000 is something we pulled out just to try to to take out the small items we really don't think you'd be interested in being concerned with. But again, if you want to review everything, that is not a major area of concern to me. So in closing my testimony, we think we've drafted language that responds to the 2 points that the carrier of the bill pointed out to us were areas that he thought were of concern. Okay. And we are very comfortable with your adding this to the bill if you so desire.
Thank you. Questions?
Also, you might want to look at the Hannon Gross copy because Legislative Council changed the wording slightly from what Darrell's testimony shows. The concepts are the same. They just worded it in their
Well, there are changes style. On page 10, which is the one that is on there. On page 12, you have the Hannon Gross bill with the writing in it, which changes before any sale and drops any sale. It says before surplus public service land that has a fair market value of more than $50,000 is sold under ORS so-and-so and so. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means or the Emergency Board shall be consulted. So it says the same thing, just a little differently.
I'll move the amendments, Mr. Chairman.
All right. It has been moved that we accept amendments, and as in your Ann Gross Senate Bill 134, dated 5/25/81, updated with the committee amendments called LC 611. That's in your book. Is there any objection to accepting those amendments? So ordered. Senator Day then moves that we send Senate Bill 134 as amended back to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Would you call the roll, please?
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Gardner?
Aye.
Senator Meeker? Senator Halleck? Senator Powell?
Aye.
Senator Thorne?
Aye.
Senator Ripper?
Aye. Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the
committee. Thank you. All right, House Bill 2752. Work session on. We've had a hearing. 27. If I can find it here.
Just a minute.
And it is listed with some amendments.
Where is it? No. What number, Mr. Chairman?
In the House section.
In the House section, House Bill 2752, Representative Hooley asked if she could come, and you wanted to speak on this, or do you just want to watch?
I spoke on it last time, unless people have some questions.
Do we have any amendments to that, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, we
have. There are some that were drafted this past week that are in red on page 2 of the bill.
And these were to take care of some of Senator Powell's concerns.
2752?
Yeah.
I'm having trouble finding the bill.
I am too.
Oh, right in their House bills, right in the front part.
Oh, in the front part.
Yeah, the front part before we get to the reported out.
Okay. Here's the agenda.
Here we are.
How many bills we got?
We got 3 hearings that day. Let me show. The purpose of the amendment was to restrict what they could talk about in executive session mm-hmm. to narrow it down to just those standards, criteria, and policy directives that they'd already established in open session.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was your concern, Senator Powell.
Well, so why do you do?
Well, it says to review and evaluate mm-hmm. on page 2 of the bill, to review and evaluate pursuant to standards, criteria, and policy directives adopted by the governing body, the employment-related performance chief, executive officer, any public body, public office, so-and-so, unless the person whose performance is being reviewed and evaluated requests an open hearing. And your concern was that there had to be some standards and criteria and things that they were going to review when they went to executive session.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
I want to put something on the record.
To say how that will be established. Yes.
I want to put something on the record if I can call Ozzy just briefly.
Sure.
Ozzy,
you want to come up?
Yeah. As we discussed earlier, Ozzy, this bill would not impact evaluations for the purposes of dismissal. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And how would go through that a little bit?
A dismissal proceeding, once you make the decision to dismiss, that's got to be done in open session. And we're asking for an evaluation to occur, a time for the board of directors and the individual to sit down and talk over that individual's performance. And the amendment is acceptable and does what needs to be done, but still allows what we believe is a necessary part of the evaluation process.
Okay, I move the amendments, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, on that, the senator's motion, I would ask, where does it in this language? It's been handwritten into my bill. Is it because of the language in lines 7 through 9 that makes that new language relate to those adopted in an open meeting?
Yes.
Yep. The second concern, Mr. Chairman, that I had was whether or not you can take the whether you can actually evaluate a chief executive officer without discussing the policy question. Now, I asked the staff to talk with legislative counsel about it, and I understand that with these amendments, they could, in effect, talk about policy as long as it related to the job performance that was adopted in the public meeting. Is that correct?
What Kathleen, who's the person we talked with, said is that you have your policy that the board has already adopted. The board could say, did the administrator carry out this policy, that policy, following policy? If they varied from that and gone to the area of starting to talk about, well, maybe that policy wasn't good in the first place, then they've gone out of bounds. But if they stuck to the policy that were already adopted and said, how did he carry that out, did he not carry it out, or she?
What?
It would be okay.
Go ahead, Senator Paul.
Well, that's been my concern, is how is the press, who understandably can attend the executive session, and they have the right to write a story when you're talking about policy. They do not have and would not have the right. So as I understand it, they would go back to the press and say, here's a list of our criteria. And then you start a discussion. If the administrator defends themselves based on the fact that it wasn't necessarily a policy that was workable, and there was any kind of dialogue that pursued, it seems to me they've left the base. And so my question was whether or not whether this bill actually clarifies the situation that the schools find themselves in, or do we have to go beyond that if we're truly to answer the question at hand? Would you have to go beyond that and simply give them time to discuss whatever they wanted to discuss in evaluating an administrator? And it seems to me that although this would give them the weight of the law on their side, I'm not convinced this does what they want done. That's my point. I'm not satisfied that that council has given me any more reason to believe that it actually gives them a full evaluation period. That the theory is that you get in there and you let your hair down. I don't think this does that. I don't think it does it at all. Because if you start letting your hair down, it's admissible to print. And that's, and I don't necessarily favor going beyond this, but I don't think this clarifies the law from the existing situation. It does give them an entrance into executive session. Once there, I'm not sure they have gained. Other than the press, I don't know what the press would see as their role. If they wrote, maybe they wouldn't get any more information from the city to write stories about other issues. I don't know I don't know how we're to expect this to actually be interpreted.
Well, the press can print the executive session right now without permission from whatever body.
No, that's not my understanding. My understanding is they can if the discussion goes beyond what the law narrowly describes as what you can do during an executive session. And the minute you leave that, it's open to their print. Now, maybe I'm misreading the law, but that's my understanding. Now, what I need is somebody to convince me that we're doing something here beyond that, beyond, in essence, opening that door. Now, when I have seen administrators in trouble, be it in a school district or a city, it's been one because people in the community have wanted to gripe and ask for dismissal for one reason or the other. As I read this, the existing law, when those allegations are brought, they already have the right to go into an executive session if somebody wants to make an allegation or a charge. Secondly, it's been because of disputes, usually with the board or the council. They don't agree on policy. So when it comes to evaluating the administrator, of course that administrator hasn't done a good job according to two of the council members or three of the council, but that's policy. And that's why they want to fire him, or her. It's because the person's not following policy. Now, is that public information? Should the public have a right to understand that's being discussed about the chief executive of their board or their council? I think that's the question we have to answer.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Do you want me to withdraw the motion pending further developments?
I'd vote to amend the bill in this.
Yeah. Okay, let's have this, right. This, and then we'll see what happens.
All right, the motion is to amend the bills as you have printed, dated LC Amendment 615. Is there any objection?
The origin of these are from Representative Cooley, is that correct?
I'm not sure they're from her. I think they're from us.
From you?
Yeah, we talked
to
council.
We tried, we tried to take care of what we thought were the objections.
I just want to know the oral.
Yeah.
Well, they came from...
No, I had them draft a legislative council to address that question. Also, it came partly through the League of Oregon Cities.
Okay. If there is no objection, then we will adopt the amendments. How strong do you feel about the bill? Then you feel strong enough to oppose it?
Well, I feel. Strongly enough, or have enough questions about it, as to not vote for it tonight.
How would you tighten it up then?
Well, that's my question. I'm not sure there is a way. Now, somebody's got to answer to me this question. You have the person who is probably more powerful than the mayor as far as actually affecting what is done with government in your city. You have the person that I know is more powerful than any board member and the superintendent of a school district. At what point the discussion surrounding the way they perform and their performance is the carrying out of the policy of that city or of that school district, at what point is the evaluation of that officer to be private? I think if there are allegations about dismissal, I think those should be. But in the setting of the criteria, and according to this bill, that would be done in public, then if you set that criteria in public, how much public benefit is gained by going into an executive session to evaluate that person's performance based on that criteria? That's the question. Now, I understand where the proponents are coming from. I understand that very well. That you can and you probably do say things in a private setting that you would not say in a public setting. But I'm not sure the law should be designed for the purposes of making it easier to administer, or whether we have to protect some of the very basic principles. And I guess that the policymakers are being evaluated by the voters, and
yeah. My problem comes, well, how do you have the heart-to-heart talk? If it's a heart-to-heart talk in public, you might as well fire the guy before he ever start, because from then on in you place the doubt, and tomorrow he won't be able to be an effective administrator, whether he's school or city. He's finished as long. It's just like if we had a public evaluation of our presiding officer or whatever it is, or our committee chairman, you have destroyed whoever that person would be. And I mean, that's the way I'm looking
at it. Yeah, and that's why I equated it to the executive
appointment. Chairman, I kind of dig it if you want to. I would move we go into executive session.
I don't dispute that necessarily, short of thinking that as far as the public perception of government, many decisions could be justifiably made behind closed doors.
Well, that's where they're being made, John. I think what you're trying to do is to say that let's get them out of the cocktail party, like a city council or a school board, and let's get it back down to the meeting place and have that session, what they're going to have anyway, and at least they have the press and everyone else there, and it's not done unfairly in the sense that, you know, unsubstantiated charges or no answer. That's what I'm thinking about. Senator Thornton.
Chairman, I have kind of turned a few degrees on this issue. I cite two examples. One, and it happened in my community, one had to do with the question that the budget committee of the school board was dealing with, and the chairman of the budget committee in public was, I guess in part, his position was accepted, and yet long ago I've been home and had dinner with these people, and I've never seen such a fight. It's one of these, if you've gone to the movie Four Seasons, that make it look like a family discussion, to see the battle that ensued because those people in public were afraid to I guess let all of their feelings come out, and so reserved it to a private home where there was dinner and, as you say, a couple of drinks, and pretty quick they just tore into each other unmercifully. The point being, in a small community, I think oftentimes people are reluctant to become as aggressive in evaluation. I think we have more freedom here in the legislature to be critical of one another because the public accepts that situation and expects it. In a small community where you've got people who have spent their lives there and they have friends, and you get this extra tie, which I've become more sensitive to, that literally can tear a community apart. Another example was in the superintendent. The school board made a decision and announced it publicly that they would accept no outside of the district applications. That just, you know, for a month, it just had everybody ready to bite each other in that town. And I think we have to be sensitive to the fact that in addition to dealing with the public affairs of a small community, you've got the personalities involved, and oftentimes by saying something critical in public, it's taken the wrong way, and you destroy oftentimes. Not only do you criticize the person, justifiably so maybe, but you destroy his credibility in that community for a period down the road where it makes it tough for him to pull himself out of what was intended to be a very honest, straightforward evaluation. So that's why I'm inclined to support the bill. Now, I understand what Senator Powell is saying, and I don't know if there's a common ground, but I'd like to see the from those two personal examples, see the thing move.
Mr. Chairman, I suggest we set it over for a little while and see what, or else see who wanders in tonight.
I would like to have it, if it comes out, I'd like to have us somewhere near
sure.
a court. I don't like to go to the floor of a floor fight.
Mr. Chairman,
if there's some place we can make accommodation,
sure.
I would rather do it.
I support the bill, but in deference to Senator Powell, I'd like to at least have the opportunity to think about it. Frequently, we're just slamming things home because we're in a big rush. And I think that's
no problem. We can close the hearing then, and we can In the meantime, anybody have something?
Can I transfer the four calls from mayors in my cities and the 21 school districts in my district to you tomorrow? If you wanted to bring the bill out, I'm not going to stand up on the floor and lay down on the tracks. I'm convinced if I was the publisher of a newspaper or the editor of a newspaper and I sent a reporter down to cover this, we'd write it with this language. We'd write it up. The minute they even come close to discussing a policy, I'd write it up. I don't care whether they're talking about any criteria or not. If it was policy, I'd write it and let them sue me. And I think that they would probably win in court based on this language. I just don't think you're gaining as much as you want. Now, perhaps they'll come out with a criteria that says that one of the criteria might be the way he administered the direction of the board.
I don't know.
The direction that the board gave to them, which would give them basically or literally the power to discuss anything under that umbrella. I don't think that's acceptable, and I doubt that would be upheld if forced to interpret. But
I've got a city that's in all kinds of problems. City of Coos Bay, for instance. They went through one of these with the press, and the press really destroyed one of the city managers. One of the best people that I am, and that's not the town I live, one of the very best I know. He works for economic development, one of our very best employees today for the state of Oregon. Now, that was one of those faction fights going on, and the press making all kinds of stuff out of it, just like we're talking about. And they replaced him with another man, and right now we're going through the very same process. And they've got Coos Bay, the city, almost to a standstill, hasn't been able to do anything for 3 years. And they're in the process. One of them now, the city council finally said, well, you kept publishing, one of the reporters, you can't attend anymore. And she is now suing. I don't know where she's going to get, but she published. But they don't really care. All they want is turmoil. That sells papers. They could care less about people, their careers, or anything else, and that's really what I'm just about fed up with this type of thing, that anything, whether it's truth or false, that the press publishes just to get a story, and they demand that right to get in there to say it, we just look at the stories we had this last 3 weeks, never seen anything when they can't even get the bill number right,
That's true. Slightly different. I've had some experience with these provisions, the executive session law, under litigation circumstances. I think that they probably, in the long run, lend to a more informed view of events by the media, because these kinds of evaluations are going to take place anyway. They're going to take place at a cocktail party, one-on-one, or in a three-person, non-quorum type of session. They're going to take place, and the only issue, really, is whether you can have an orderly procedural framework where an evaluation can, a frank, open evaluation can take place. On a personnel type of nature, that's the only issue, and the press representative can be at that meeting. They can attend it. They can be required by the public body not to report it. But my experience, which is admittedly not in this particular area, but in a litigation type of framework, is that though they cannot report the exact details of what's said there, it lends more expertise to their later accounts. They have a better background as to what's really happening, and that's...
Well, the second choice you have, if you have no evaluation just because of this, then you get four of the seven city councilmen with their cocktail party, and then they come in, and then they demand they fire, and there's never been an evaluation, or it's all on prejudice, and it really tears them up, and that's about the way it normally works. The four get together.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to move,
let's set it over.
I'd rather get it out of here than to take all the phone calls I'm going to get. Quite honestly,
all right.
I can explain my position, but my time, you know, I just don't have time for it. And I try to return all the phone calls that come in, and so I'd have to do it, and I'd know what they were, and I'd fret about it before I returned, and I don't want to do that. And, you know.
Okay, then. We'll send it, if it's everybody's agreement, we'll just send it up and let it fly on its own merits.
Yeah.
We've done our chore, right. Let's get it out in front of the public. All right, then, it's been...
I'll move it to the floor if you pass.
Okay, it's been moved that we send House Bill 2752 as amended to the floor of the Senate for the due pass recommendation. Further discussion, and we'll see if Senator Day wants to cast a ballot or not. No, I went out here to hide.
We have to go a long ways to get him. Superintendent of the school has him down in the hall beating him.
We're having an executive session.
Why don't you go ahead and call the roll, please, and then we can...
While we're waiting on him, I might just say that...
And then when he gets here, he can catch
it. I think